So do you know, like last Sunday was the Easter Sunday, and the next Sunday will be, anyone knows, Thomas Sunday, and it's one of the feasts in the church. It's okay. There will be, Sammy went, okay, that's good. So, we know that Thomas, he very well known was what? Is what? Thomas. Sunday school. Thomas is very well known with Shakek. He's doubting, right? He doubted the resurrection, and he said, unless I see and unless I touch, I will not believe. So today we'll not talk like too much on it, but we'll touch base on, because it's really, I believe it's a very big topic. But I mean, we'll touch base on one, what the faith and doubt, and how can we define the faith and doubt, and what the faith and doubt do in our life, and we'll touch base on how can we deal with doubt. But I think we'll need one more session for that. So, what's faith, and what's faith not? Is not what is faith, and what's not faith? So first, what's faith? How can we define faith? Believing without seeing. That's very good. Can you elaborate more? Okay, that's very good. So you believe in something even if you don't see it, and you don't know the result. That's very good. It is not a desire, because sometimes what's happening is like, I desire something, I want something, or I need something, and then I will start to say like, God, you know, my relationship with God is like, you know, I want this. For example, I want this school. So if God give it to me, that's my belief. If he give it to me, it would be, I am a believer. If not, I'm not a believer. It's like, it's not a desire. We will get more in that. It's not a feeling, and it's very important. It's not a feeling, because if you, especially in the relationship with God, if you depend on the feelings, it will be like really... So it's not what? Thank you. You can continue. So it's not a feeling. Okay, خلاص. خلاص. And again, it's not pretending. And that's very important, very tricky. It's not pretending that I believe this is something true. It's not true, but I will pretend it's true because I'm a believer. Like this is like a table. So I believe this is a chair because someone told me it's a chair, but I don't believe it. But you know what? To be a believer, I'll pretend I okay, it's fine with me. Like especially in our relationship with God. Okay, they told me God is good, right? I don't taste it, I don't feel it, but okay, I will do whatever you say. Okay, whatever you say, I believe. So it's pretending that I believe, and this is very dangerous. We'll come to it. So faith is like, as in Hebrew 11, it says what? Now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is very, it's very easy to say, but actually it's difficult to apply, right? Like not seen it like it's something related to my vision, it's something to related to how do I look to some stuff, how do I see it, how do I think about it. It's actually, faith is seeing the not seen by the eyes of God, but the God's point of view. We'll get to more about that, but let's. To be like in the same page, about seeing stuff as not seeing stuff. So this is like, I can see it, right? It's true. This is the table, whatever it is. So I see it, but I cannot see God. I cannot see the Holy Spirit. Which is more real? Which is more real? This one or God, which is like who I don't see? What? Okay. Whatever you choose to believe. Okay? Any other? So both, if you believe, like both will be equal in reality, kind of. Like both are real. Okay? You want to say something?
I think it's easier to believe that.
It is easier to believe that. However, that doesn't mean God is... Here you go. Okay. So again, the point is not everything I don't see, that doesn't mean it's not, it doesn't exist. Okay? So as... Oh yeah, sorry. What's your name again? Our friend Mark, he said, you see oxygen. Yeah. So I mean, the point is, just as introduction, the point is, like I see this, it's easier to believe. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not there. The air is not there. The oxygen is not there. Okay? But of course it's easier. But if I... I know your focus. I know you.
How can you have faith in something you're sure is there? Like, your topic is faith, right? Yeah. But, okay, so we know the table is there. So you can't really have faith that the table's there if you can see, you know it's there. It's different.
No.
Perfect. You can... Can you give her the mic, though?
Like, that's not always true, because in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, they had a lot of, like, physical proof. Like, you could see it with your eyes, and they still, like, said, oh, no, it's, like, a gimmick. It's, like, it's not real, or there's some explanation. So, like, that could be a table, but really, what if it's, like, made of something, and then you could, like, collapse it or something? Like, I don't know, if you've ever seen those videos that are, like, food, but then they, like, smush it, and it's really paint, like, yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Which is more, I mean, whatever we see, anything we see with our eyes, it's temporary, right? However, sometimes God is there, he's the everlasting God. We will go from just this kind of introduction. And another, like the last part of the introduction, in Hebrews 11, do you know what they're talking about? One of the most famous chapters. Who wrote Hebrews, number one, first of all? St. Peter? No, can you just send? Yeah, Paul. Okay? So this is the last epistle that's in the Bible for St. Paul. It's Hebrews. And Hebrews 11 talk about the heroes of faith. And he's talking about Noah. Can we open it? It's very... I wanna show you something. And maybe we'll... Hebrews 11. Can someone... Okay. So, can you read the Noah? Noah is in... Yes, please. 1 minute.
By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. I said heir.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's the same thing. Is it hair or air? Why isn't it spelled A-I-R?
So, again, it deals with something what? Not seen, right? So, he saw something is not seen. That's why Normal people did not, because they did not see flood is coming, they did not believe. However, Noah, he saw the not seen. Again, something related to the vision. Something related to the vision. Okay, Abraham. Who will read Abraham?
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God.
By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
So again, he saw a city, again, it's not seen, okay? We'll go until and by the way, even Abraham, before we leave Abraham, it will, it's all about, this is all introduction, it will not go this, but it's all introduction. Abraham, when he took Isaac, okay, when God told him, like, do you see the photo here? He even got Isaac and give him sacrifice for me. The Bible says here, what did he do when he went there? He raised his eyes, okay, up. So it's again about, it's all related to vision. How do I look to stuff? The second one will be Moses. This is a very important one. Okay. In 27, can you read 27?
Yes. I'm just going to do a lot of clicking. Chapter 11?
No.
Oh. 11 till 27? Or 11, 20? Okay, I got it. Okay. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Yeah. Seeing on. Again, seeing the invisible. Again, it's all related to how these guys saw the unseen. At the end, and the last, can the last one, 40?
Hold on, are we saying seeing him who is invisible, the faith gave him the sight to see the invisible?
Actually, what his faith is that equal to, he is seeing the not seen. Like the regular people, they did not see that. But he saw the invisible. That's the definition of faith. We will get to more to that, and let's do the 40, and I'll explain more.
Okay. 40? 40. Yeah.
39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Okay. So God having provided something better for us, it's in Arabic, God saw something for us. So again, we'll come back to this is the last part of the introduction, is these people, they saw stuff, okay, maybe it's not seen by our eyes, okay, but they saw the things with the eyes of God, okay, that's the whole point of this, okay. Now we'll do a kind of Bible study on one of the stories in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. Anyone knows where is the book of Numbers in the Bible? Yes, in the Old Testament. Thank you, Mark. In the Old Testament, okay. Any before Exodus? After Exodus, okay. After Exodus? Okay. Can you say, anyone can have the full answer, kind of? So it's one of the five books of Moses, okay? It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So it's number four. Numbers, number four, okay? So it's not very, like, not every, like, I like, very, not everybody read it, but for some reason, but it's a very important, very nice book. So I'll tell you the background of it, and then we will move, and we'll talk about how the faith and doubt can affect our life. Okay, and the last part will be how to deal with doubt. So we'll talk about what's the eyes. If we see stuff with the eyes of faith, eyes of doubt first, eyes of faith, and how can we deal with doubt? Okay, so here in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14, what happened is Moses took the people from Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and they came to the before they entered the Promised Land. They were like in a city called the Kadesh. And it's only the need to cross the very tiny river of Jordan and to go to Promised Land in the second year of their in the wilderness. If they just cross the river Nile, they will be in the Promised Land. Okay? That's simple. And God told them just go and get it. Mark, do you have a question? Tell me. No, it's okay. The what? The Red Sea? 40 years. And we will know now why. Why it should take like 2 weeks. It should take 2 weeks walking total. They will just... Yes, they got 4 years. 4 years, and we will know why now, okay? So it should be simple. Just to go, cross the river Nile, the Jordan River, whatever, and you will be good. Okay. So what happened? Moses told them, okay, before we do that, I will send some spies, from each tribe. Okay, I will get 12 people. How many tribes? 12. Yeah, 12 people, and one from each tribe, and we'll go to check the land before we go and get it. That easy. Okay. Okay, so these people, like, they went, and they have, like, the wind, they came back. Each one had his report about the land, okay? So let's see what happened. Okay. So you can share the joke. It's okay. No. He's just, joking. No, it didn't talk. It didn't take that long. However, let's see now. Okay, I'm happy you're happy, guys, but let's focus, okay? I'm very happy. Okay, just let's focus, okay? Can we focus? Okay. I know it's not fun, but thank you. How you want to know? So let's do that. So these people, they went and they got with the report to Moses and tell them, okay, this is our report. Okay, Mark? Okay. Keep going? Okay. 10 out of 10. Okay, please. No, that's okay. Now it's okay. Please. It's a distraction. Okay. 10 out of the 12. They came with a negative feedback, telling them, okay, we cannot go to this land, okay? So that is the eyes of doubt. Only two, anyone knows the names? Joshua, one of them, and the other one? Yes, someone. Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. And this is the only two, at the end, enter the Promised Land. All other people. Did not go, including Moses. We will know now. So the two said, he came to Moses and told him, okay, let's go and get this land. It's beautiful. all of them said it's beautiful, and everything is like even the fruits are great, and it's all good. But 10 of them said, no, we cannot go. We cannot go because we will see now because what? So in 13, the book of Numbers, 13 and the verse 27 and 28. Can you read for me? 27 and 28.
So this is the 10 people. That's the report of this 10 people.
Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.
Like people are very like huge, like they're very tall and big, and we cannot go and get them. So now we will discuss that as how I see the stuff with the eyes of doubt. Let's go by one. Rakam number one, exaggerating our problems and weaknesses. They said that we cannot go. They are very big. They are strong. We cannot go. They will kill us. So the first thing that doubt affect my life, and let's talk now, it's not only about this story, it's about our life too. Sometimes if I have a doubt in whatever, let's say an exam, right? Let's say that in, we are in there. And I feel like, you know, I can't do it. It's bigger than my skills and ability and whatever. Intellectual, whatever. When I see that this exam, which is coming, okay, soon, when I see it with this eyes of doubt, I feel like this eyes of doubt exaggerating the problem. Okay, it's complicated. I will not do anything. I can't do it. I cannot study. I cannot understand, because it's exaggerating the problem. They said they are big. Huge, they are strong, they will kill us. So the exaggerating the enemies, which is in our whatever, any problem in my life. So just seeing the problem in the eyes of doubt, that's number one, do it exaggerating. The funny thing is, 30 years after this happened, after this 10 people came and said, like, you know, we cannot do it, we cannot do it, they keep like in the wilderness for 38 years, more years. They could just go and cross the river and do it, but they couldn't. They was like, no, we cannot do it. So they kept for 38 years. And after that, 38 years later, when they came to the promised land, these people, they told them, we were scared like never before, because we heard what God did with you when you crossed the Red Sea, and how all the Egyptian army had been killed. And we were so scared that you will come and do the same to us. So even sometimes it's not true. Our fear and doubt, when I stick to my doubt, sometimes the enemy is not there. It's not true. It's not happening. However, in my life, sometimes if I just go and stick to my faith in God, that will make it big difference. Yes.
They were not lost for 40 years.
I'll tell you exactly what happened in Exodus. No, they don't lost. So what happened? They kept, because they didn't obey God, and they kept doing this stuff. And it's like, why God brought us here and blah blah blah. And this God, like, that's why. It could, like, it's not, like, even there is a, in Exodus, I'll show you something. I'll get to you one minute. In Exodus 13 or 14. Okay. In Exodus, yes, here. Fourteen. Okay, I'll okay, maybe I'll get back to you about that. But they did not last because God was in front of them. How can the yes, it's kind of. God told them go and cross the river, but they did not like. They said like we can't, we're scared. So they went to another way, okay. So that's why that's how it kept moving, and then they came back to the promised land again. Because they were scared to go, they didn't believe in God. Just to go around, yeah. And then that's why that they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe that, like after they crossed the Red Sea, they should like you know whatever God says they will obey, but they didn't. So that's.
My one like issue with this, like using this specific example as like reason why we should like trust God and like believe in like this, like no, we should not the question, but it's like not doubting things in our lives is that like God told his people from like day one, I will give you the promised land. Like this is like a sure thing. This is your path. Like this is your goal. But for us, a lot of the uncertainty, a lot of the doubt, a lot of the like, I don't know if I can do this is it's not so much that I don't believe that if this is God's plan for me that he won't like carry it out. It's more so that is this God's plan? Is it like, am I going to like do well on this exam because like this is the goal and like God wants me to get to this place and like that's why everything will work out? Or is it like maybe I won't do well on this exam and it's not because I couldn't do it or God couldn't like do it like help me out? It's just like maybe I was meant to not do well on this exam because I was meant for something else.
So like yeah, because like something that confuses me or like I guess makes me uneasy, so it's not that we don't trust that God has a plan for us. But for example, with a certain career, for example, I don't know if God wants me, like, to do some plan A when I'm supposed to be, when he wants me to do plan B. Like, I know that he can allow me to do whatever, like, A, for example, but I don't know if that is what he wants me to do. And I guess this adds to the confusion.
Yes, okay. So the question is like, I'm not sure everybody's following that. She said like, okay, it's not like this example, it's not applicable to us because here God told them just go get the land. However, God didn't show me, they revealed to me his will, kind of, right? I wish we can talk about how can I know the will of God soon. However, we can touch base on that. That's very short answer, which is, it might take longer if we can talk. But however, I believe it's not about, like God doesn't have a certain plan for every one of us. You have to go this school. If you didn't go to school, that's not my plan for your life. You're in doubt. It's not that way. However, I believe, and I think what a lot of church fathers, we can talk about that. God gave every single one of us this part in our bodies to think, okay? And he will bless whatever decision we will take. Like if I decide to go to school, not this school, God will not say, no, I just wanted you to be in this school, that school. And you just, you know, no, it's not that way. It's like as long as you have a good relationship with God, and you're not doing something, of course, I'm not talking about doing sin as like, you know, God bless my sin. No, it's not like that way. But the decision of life, should I marry this man or no? Should I go, to school? Should I do this job or no, this career or not? Just go, pray, and tell God, whatever your will, reveal it to me, and he will bless. That's a very short answer to, I'm not sure that satisfies. kind of. So, and again, we have a promise in the Bible saying that just seek the kingdom of God and all of this will be like a bonus, you know. Like, I'll give it to you, whatever.
Quick question. So ideally, you have options in front of you and God obviously knows which one is better, right? So how can you tell, for example, if God is nudging you this way?
I think that's what he just said, that there's not like one path. It's sort of like you choose what you think.
Exactly. The question is like, which one is God knows?
Of course is better.
Because he's like above time, yeah. Above all this. He knows which you will go with. This is out of question, right? Mm-hmm. Which is better for God? Everything is good, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you will think and you will pray, and we believe that. We pray, we talk to God, and it's like, God, thy will be done. Whatever I will go, God will bless my decision, and will everything will be successful. Everything will work.
I think the point
Okay. We're watching. I think, like, we have this idea that God has a set plan for us, when I think that and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the will of God for our lives is to be with him, and how we get there is up to us. Like Amir was saying, God gave us a brain so that we can think and make our own decisions and choose who we want to marry, as long as it doesn't conflict with his final goal of being with him. So I think it's up to us to pray, not for God to nudge us a certain way, but for God to give us enough wisdom to know what we want for ourselves, so long as it doesn't get in the way of our relationship with him.
Danny.
I just want to say a comment, or like what I thought is that, or like what I see is that God never really promised us that he's going to make everything okay and that we're going to have an easy life. Like, if you look in the Bible, there's a lot of martyrs, there's a lot of suffering. So I think it's not so much about making this life as best as we can and having a good career and having a good life. It's more of how close can we get to God. And it's so we just have to strive as best as we can.
100% I agree.
I kind of disagree with that, because he says it a lot in the Bible that if he takes care of like the birds or like these small things, like how much more will he take care of us? It just, I think that means different things for us. So for the saints, that meant martyrdom. That was their goal. That's what they desired. So that's what God gave them. A lot of those martyrs were like, God, put me in a position where I can like glorify you, and like I want to be in these trials. And even when they were in pain, it's not like they were like complaining. They were saying, God, just be with me. So, but like he knows that like for me, like I probably won't react the same way to like torture or like martyrdom. So I don't think, well, I don't know, maybe he'll put me in that position, but as of right now he hasn't. And I think it's because he knows, like, I don't know how to, like, he fulfills not all our desires, but I do think that he does make things work out for our good. It just, like, to me, like, someone else's life might be like horrible or they're in a bad situation, but they don't feel that way. So I do think he makes your life good. It's just that means something different to each person. And it's also like our outlook. Like, you could have a good life, you just don't think it's good because you are like striving for more. You're not like happy with just God being in your life. So it's half your perspective, half like what God thinks will work.
Actually, I agree with both of you, which is what you have said. It's not very far from what Danny said. It's like, sometimes the pain in my life, the whatever happened in my life, God allowed to make me the best person ever. We can give a lot of examples in the Bible, and God does not make the life easier. It's not, but however, he is with us in any like in our pain, in our afflictions, whatever. So you might gain something you're missing, but the only way is to go through this. Okay, let's say if you ask Peter, Saint Peter, what is the best time in your life? Okay? He's like, the time I was almost died in the sea, in the middle of the sea. However, I experienced walking over this water. It's like, wow, this is the best. Yes, yes. This is, I was almost died. However, I experienced something. I would never do it without this thing, right? Maybe if you ask Daniel, what is the best moment? It's like, you know, sitting with two lions, and they are both looking at me without even opening their mouth. I was like, wow, I have, you know. And more and more and more, like Joseph, how could you be the second one in the kingdom of Egypt without being to go through all of these afflictions and trials? So sometimes God has wanted you to visit this kind of problem because you are missing something to be the perfect person in his eyes. And again and again and again, his goal is to be with him. And his goal is the kingdom of heaven at the end. So pain is not always bad. Sometimes, like, don't waste your pain. However, just how to understand it and don't waste it. That's why a lot of saints, they asked for pain. But, I mean, we don't reach this level yet. But, I mean, they understand how this pain be the only way to God sometimes. It's not. However, he will not give you anything you cannot handle. So the maximum of this affliction, it will be different from one to one, as you said. Right? So he will not give me something I cannot handle. He knows my limits. Right? Okay. Let's get back to this. So the first point is sometimes seeing my life in the eyes of doubt, it's exaggerate the problems. Number two, sometimes underestimate my abilities. So what did they say in 14:1? Sorry again. Oh, I'm sorry. And 13:33. Thank you, Mark. Fadi, thank you, Fadi. So what happened in 33? They said what? Can you read for me?
There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from giants. And we were the grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.
Anyone here, how did they describe themselves? So the enemies were what? Giants. And what they are? They are, you know, kind of, they will, like, you know, crush them. They will kill them. They will eat them. So seeing the problems in my life with the eyes of doubt, it's exaggerating my enemy and it's underestimating my abilities. It's giving me as if they're, like, they're still in Egypt. They are still slaves. They couldn't believe they are free now. You're free. God crossed with, like, it's a, did you ever see, the Red Sea coming in, like, divided in two, and you walk through the water, and you can see fish, and from here and here, and, you know, it's a great miracle. Like, how can you, after that doubt, God will do something with you? It's the same to us. You can imagine how many times God gave me a lot of stuff, maybe through a lot of difficult time, or, and then it happened to someone is like, you know, giving me a problem. It's like, you know what my life is like. I cannot do it. These people, like, is bigger than me. They will ruin my life, whatever. So it's the eyes of doubt. It's the eyes of doubt. And it's low self-esteem. It give me low self-esteem. We are just, you know, hasharot. They will walk on us, right? And it's a kind of projection, you know. I have low self-esteem, you know. So these people will, like, I'm nothing. So my identity is lost. With the eye of doubt, I feel like I'm nothing. So again, do not, when you have this moment of doubt, all of us have the moment of doubt. Sometimes we doubt ourselves, sometimes doubt our abilities, sometimes doubt God. Sometimes without God. All of us has this moment, okay? However, when you are in this, of course, everyone can say like a story about that. But I mean, we feel like, you know what, I'm still in Egypt. I'm still a slave to my sin. I'm still a slave to my inability to do it. I'm very small, and everybody else, they're bigger than me. They could do it. Number three, they get discouraged. In 14:1, in the second chapter, they say, like, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They start to cry and weeping because, you know, it's done. We will be dead next day. So we feel discouraged. I will not go. I will keep crying. And then again, in the second verse, will be like complained against Moses and Aaron. They start to complain. They start to blame God. Why did you brought us here? Why did you bring us here so they will kill us? They start again in our life. Sometimes God, why God did you do that to me? Why did you do that? Why did you leave me? Why did you put me in the situation of, like, I don't like it. It's like I'm crying, I'm suffering, and I blame you. Okay? From day one, the man blaming God and his problems. Adam, when he told God, the woman that you brought to me, that you, God, brought to me, it's your fault. You brought this woman to me, and this woman, like, did whatever. So, and then I will give up and blame God. So that's how, if I see my problem in the eyes of doubt. Let's say the opposite.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see what the opposite in the eyes of faith. Faith will make it that shrinks my problem because I have faith in who? In God. So if I compare God with problems, so I have, it's either way. If I have big God, that means I have a very small problem because he's God, or on the other hand, if I feel my problems is really big and giants, I remember these people. Do you remember the report from the spy? They're giants. They're like big. They will kill us. That means I have a small God. So we have to choose. If I have bigger God, I can put God between me and the problem. It will disappear. If I have small God, that means that's why I have this problem is bigger than I can see it, even if I put God, my God. So it's again, if I have the faith, and then Genesis 18, it says, like, nothing impossible for God. I will go faster. When I have faith, it will open the door for God to do miracles. If you remember, whenever Jesus, before he did miracles, is like, do you believe? Okay? He asked, do you believe? And then one of the cities, Christ went there in Matthew 13, and he did not do any miracles. For what reason? One reason. Because he did not believe. Did not believe. It's written, like, they did not do any miracles because they did not believe in him. So believing in God, believing in the promises of God, put the trust in God, it opens the door of miracles. And it moves God to work on my behalf. So to start to move, like God, if you remember one of the kings, I think Hezekiah, can't remember, he had a problem. He has like three armies came to him and is like surrounding the city, and he started to say, we will kill you And if you, even if you surrender to us, we will take charge of the eyes and whatever, and we'll take you slaves. That's if you say okay. So this guy, he took all the threatens and he went to the temple and told God. He wrote it and it was like, okay, this is my problem. It's not threatening me. They are not threatening me. They are threatening you. And he left. He left. And God told him, okay, it's not your problem anymore. It's not your problem anymore. This is my problem now. So putting, like, imagine, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. However, try to do that. When you have a doubt, a moment of doubt, a moment of a problem, it's something in my life, a sin cannot, I can't, you know, I feel like I'm still slave to it. I cannot do it. Something in my life, I can't handle it anymore. And you go to God, it's like, you know what? Can you do something? It's not mine. Can you take it? And God will tell you, okay, it's not your problem anymore. This is my problem. Same in Exodus when Moses went through one of the wars and it's like God told him, this war is not yours. It's mine. It's mine. So believing God, it moves God to work in my behalf. And when God works on my behalf, there is no limit. Us not believing in God, it limits God of like doing miracles in my life. It limits God to do anything in my life when I don't, like, you know, I will deal with myself. You know, I can do it, but I'll keep going. So that will limit God of doing for myself. Okay, whatever. So, and again, it gives me power. When I go to God, I was like, God, this is your problem now. And it, when I see like God promises all the Bible here, in any Bible, it has like, I don't know how many thousand of promises. Just it waiting for you and me to unlock it. Just unlock it. Go and just, you know, cash it. Cash it out. How I cash it out? I believe in it. When God tells me, this is not your problem, whatever the problem in your life, that people in your life were like, said something about you before, and it stuck to my mind, and I start to believe in it, it's not your problem anymore. I will deal with that. Whatever in my life, and it like, God, I believe that you will deal with that, it unlocked the promises of God. But again, we will still have some doubt in our life. Everybody. I'm talking about myself. Sometimes I will have doubt. When I have in the middle of something like really tough and like I feel like, you know, I can't do it. Sometimes I feel, you know what? No, it's God, are you still there? You hear me? Do you see me? Why did you put me in this position? Do like Thomas did. What did Thomas do? What did Thomas do? When they told him, okay, we saw Christ. What did he say? He was like, you know, one, like if it's me, I was like, yeah, good, okay, yeah. I'm sure you're right, you know. I'll come here and I will listen to someone. It's like, yeah, God with you, and He will make you happy. And it's like, yeah, right, I'm happy. And I can even talk about God to someone. And it's like, yeah, you know what? God is with me, and He will be with you too. But I'm not there. Like, I'm pretending. I am pretending. Thomas was not pretending. What did the Thomas do? He's like, no, I don't believe. Unless I see and touch, I don't believe. And of course, we can listen to hundreds of sermons like, how dare you, Thomas? But I see him, he's very honest. He's very honest. Yes, he had a moment of doubt, and he just say it. You know what? I don't believe. I have doubt. Be honest. God does not want us to pretend that we believe in him. Pretending is something actually God, in Isaiah, he said, I hate that. It's like coming to the house of God and do the worship like everybody does. But inside me, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's okay. I'm just doing it because, you know, everybody else do that. It's like, you know what? No. Be honest, and be honest to your father of confession. Be honest in front of God and tell him, God, I have some questions. I have some doubts. Let's deal with it. Acknowledge your doubt. And before you start to search about the answers of your questions, just go to God and tell him, okay, God, I want you to come. I want to touch you like Thomas. I want you to reveal yourself to me. Okay? And then we can search and answer and ask. Ask your servant, ask your father of confession, a spiritual father. But first of all, before we doing the intellectual kind of search of answers, open spiritually to God. Like, open your heart to God. Because he can even come to the very closed doors, like what happened to the disciples. And he showed himself to them. That's all like what I want to say today. I think it's, of course, it's, we can talk more about all the questions you said, like the topic you asked about the will of God and all, how exactly I can deal with my doubt in more details, because I know it's not easy. I know it's not, it's having doubt in even in God or in myself or in something in my life. It's beyond me. And like I'm talking about myself. I have this moment. And like being in a good relationship with God, that doesn't mean I will not go through this. But like, does God hate it? Like, feel like, you know what? How dare you doubt? No, actually no. Because when Thomas came and saw Christ himself came one more time, like the second Sunday, he showed himself to him. And again, Thomas now, he went and he preached God. Use this moment after you go and open your heart to Christ, and then you can understand when someone else has doubt, you can help him. So it's not about pretending everything is good. No. If everything is not good, just say it. God, everything is not good. And let him deal with that. Any questions?